afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And there's sure a lot of those going on today for Tuesday, June 26th, 2018. Hello, Butch.
Hello, Miss Melody. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. By the way, while I'm thinking of it, be sure and send your ad out to the printer for the magazine, because we're going to send it out tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks for all that. The notice.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it won't get there to Monday. You got at least 3 or 4 days, so don't worry about it. Just kidding. I mean, you can. But anyway, you go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much. And it is a great little newsletter, and it's always in. Packed full of information and current events and so forth. So,
and it's free. It's free. People can email me or call the office, and we can put them on the email list. You can call us, folks, at 800-777-4403. You can say, here's my email address to Lisa when she answers the phone, and we'll add you to the list. You'll get one sometime the first of the month. It's always 50 to 60 pages long, and the information is first rate. It is all verified information. I think you find it a very good source of learning, and also of information to share with your friends and family that you can actually verify is happening. So it's free. Just call 800-777-4403. Give us email address or email me at pastorbutch@startmail.com. pastorbutch@startmail.com. Now, Mel, it's your turn.
Is it my turn now that you got your free ad in there? Well, I'll tell you what, gold is almost free today. It's down $680 at $1,259. We had a low of $1,254 today and a high of $1,262. So they're putting the kibosh on gold today. Silver was down 3 cents at $16.36. Platinum is holding at 872, but palladium had an extraordinary strong day, up almost 2%, up $18 at $966. Let's take a look at the USDX today is 0.45 to the upside at 94.75. Crude oil, I mean, I was ready to blow through 60, and now we're at 70.40. Up $2.32 today. And the paper markets today, let me get to the paper markets. Oh, here briefly, they were stronger. The Dow was up about 100 points. Well, they reversed that at the end, up 30. It's up 30 points at 24,283. The NASDAQ was up 29 points at 7,561. The S&P was up 6 points at 2,723. And so the 10-year yield, 2.88%. Pressure on the euro, that's to be seen with the dollar's strength. European and Asian markets were pretty much unchanged overnight. Small percentage moves, a quarter of a percent. So no big moves there. A little more fear coming back into the markets than we've seen of late. Excuse me. And Bitcoin, I believe, dipped below 6, and we're holding right now at 61.75. So there's a lot of things going on today. We had one of the interesting articles out there today. Let me see if I can bring it up here. Is the largest U.S. nail manufacturer is on the brink of extinction. And, of course, they're blaming the tariffs. And steel tariffs could force this nation's largest nail manufacturer to close or move to Mexico. This is plant is in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. The Mid-Continent Nail Plant laid off 60 of its 500 workers last week because of increased steel costs. The company blames the 25% tariff on imported steel. Orders for nails plunged. 50% after the company raised its prices to deal with higher steel costs. The company is in danger of shutting production by Labor Day unless the Commerce Department grants it an exclusion from paying the tariffs. And that was spokesman James Classman. Continent Nail is on the brink of extinction. He says they might relocate where it could buy the steel without the tariffs and then export the finished nails back to the United States without tariffs, which only apply to raw materials. It's obviously an option, he said, about moving the plant to Mexico. It absolutely is something this company does not want to do. It wants to save the jobs in Poplar Bluff. He called President Donald Trump's trade policy misguided. He noted that the company had doubled its workforce since 2013 and thrived despite increased competition from China. There has been, now this is what's really interesting, about 21,000 U.S. companies have filed for tariff exclusions. In a June 20 Senate hearing, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said Mid-Continent had filed a request for an exclusion only 2 days earlier. He's not belittling their situation at all, but given the importance of it to them, it's very unfortunate that they waited all these weeks to file the request. Well, you can see why they waited. And 1 minute was on, the next minute was off. 1 minute was on, the next minute was off. So what do, you know? But under the authority they were granted, there is a process they have to follow. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has estimated that 2.6 million U.S. jobs are at risk because of the Trump administration policies on trade, although that estimate includes the impact of ending NAFTA. The tariffs that have already been processed could cost the U.S. economy about 700,000 jobs by next summer, and that's according to Moody's Analytics. Where the plant is located in Missouri, about 80% of them voted for Mr. Trump. But they're concerned. And how do you put tariffs on something and then you allow thousands and thousands, 21,000 to date, file for an exclusion? Like, what's the point? How can you pick and choose who gets the tariffs and who doesn't? Just like with Harley Davidson, the administration's, and again, folks, I'm a believer of tariffs. However, how can you penalize? There was a statement coming out of the administration that if Harley Davidson moves their production overseas, they're going to be taxed mightily. How can
I lost you there for a while. My comrades line went down. I'm back on the air again. But I got to ask you a question before we get into Harley. We're talking about the nail company. The sales went down when they raised the prices. Did it not affect other nail companies in this country also? Were they the only one that had to raise prices? I mean, people still use nails. So why are they buying them?
Well, this is the biggest nail plant in the country. And I also believe there is a little bit of this underhanded play with these companies too. You know,
well, so. I just wonder, because I mean, the people still buying nails, and I'm not saying the sales didn't go down, obviously that's very possible, but they have to buy them from somewhere. If this company doesn't make them, somebody else is. And it's going to have to be right now. You know, so I don't know what's going on here. It kind of seems kind of curious that they're going under. So where are people buying their nails?
Well, you're right. They have to buy them somewhere. So I'm not sure where, they're coming from. But for this particular company, they have seen the impact, or they're blaming it on. I think also, just like Harley, they had issues. They've had issues for a long time. So maybe they're just using these tariffs as the excuse.
Well, it could be. I know that Trump, as you were saying, told Harley, if you take this overseas, we're going to tax you like you've never been taxed before. You know, so I don't know. I mean, who knows?
How do you stop a company from moving like that? How do you tax them like they've never been taxed before? Yeah, I mean, how do you target companies? Can you? I mean, is it right? Is it? I mean, they should have been taxed. They should have been allowed to leave anyway. I mean, you know, they should have. This battle should have been fought in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, or even before.
Even before.
You know, they're seeing all this happening with the trade war, and there's a lot more talk about that too. But one thing, and I definitely want to talk about, I mean, if you don't mind, because it's really concerning me, is all of a sudden the leftists, I'll call them leftists because that's the best word I can think of, maybe communists be better, but leftists are actually attempting to incite a civil war, and I'm not making it up. In Portland, Oregon, in the ICE office there, they took over the office and took down the American flag and put up a flag that says, refugees, welcome. I mean, they're literally taking over offices. And Maxine Waters, I mean, talk about an idiot. I don't care what color you are. That woman is an idiot. It's openly inciting to riot. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
But why isn't she not charged with that? That's against the law to incite a riot. She's not being charged with it, is she? But Trump's workers, his aides, this is a true story, are being told to buy guns to protect themselves. They're being accosted outside of restaurants and outside of movie theaters. Now, that is a fact. And that's where we are. And the interim for Senator Maggie Hassan, the Democrat from New Hampshire, as Trump's walking down the hall, said F-word and Trump afterwards, and she didn't lose her job. She wasn't bothered by it. Can you imagine what would happen if you and I said that to Obama? Think about this. I don't care, again, it's not about color. It's about left and right, I guess you could say. How come they can call people names and threaten to hurt them, but people on the other side do that, all of a sudden they're bad people and they're fascist?
You know, Pat Buchanan had a great article on the title of it is A Fascist Right or a Hysterical Left, and it really is a good little article, and I encourage everyone to go to his website and so forth. And that's basically what he talks about is, you know, you have actors at, you know, at these award shows saying the F word, and everybody stands up and applauds. He gets a standing ovation. It's just like, where are these people's... Where are these? They're nuts.
They are nuts.
They're literally nuts. And
you know, when you have
somebody
in front of a murder clinic preaching against murdering their children, they get arrested. But they take over an ICE office and put a flag up, and nothing happens. Well, you say, if the president, nothing happens. Now, I'm not saying Trump's anything special, but he is president. And there was a time though, that kind of disrespect was not acceptable by anybody on either side. But it's changed lately. And you have Maxine Waters, a congresswoman, actually trying to get people to riot against, we'll say, the authorities and the Trump administration. Now, I understand disagreeing. And I understand protesting. But she's saying openly confirm and riot. And that is absolutely unlawful. Not to mention immoral, but she's getting by with it. Would color have anything to do with that? Would because she's a black lady? Is that why they're letting it slide? I don't know, but it makes no difference. You're still wrong.
Well, you know, even Peter Fonda, who said that the 12-year-old Barron Trump should be locked up with pedophiles, even the security forces. The FBI and so forth ended up talking to him and so forth. But you know what? It does tell us a lot about America in 2018. And it's shocking. But you know, when I was reading Pat Buchanan's article this morning, he talks about that, and he says historians are calling these outbursts of hate unprecedented, but he says they really are not. He says you can go back in time. In 1968, you had mobs curse Lyndon Johnson, who had passed all the civil rights law, howling, hey, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today? After the assassinations of, you know, so many in the Vietnam War, I mean, there was just as much uprising and extremism at those times, and the extremism is how the left lost the future to Nixon and Reagan. And so it's kind of like history is repeating itself. You think that we've come a lot further than where we were in 1968. You know, we're supposed to be better.
Well, but you know, the sad part of it is even this, Melody, and people don't think about this, morally, we are much more of a decadent nation than we were 50 years ago. You know that. Mm-hmm. There's less conscience left in the people to be against evil, period. The people shrug it off. Back in the 80s, they were not using the F-bomb in every show and out in public. That just wasn't being done. Mm-hmm. But now it's acceptable as being as common language. As morality deteriorates, so does society.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely.
Not just the way it is. It's not complicated at all. So when people don't understand that, they need to look around because our nation is full of all manner of disrespect. I understand the riots in the 60s over the Vietnam War and other things, but this is over about everything. I mean, if you say something, you offend somebody, you get sued. If you tell a woman she looks pretty today, they'll sue you for harassment. This is far beyond the 60s as far as insanity goes.
Well, there was just as much hate. You know, the degrees and the situations certainly are different, but the same amount, there's just the same amount of hatred.
Hatred's hatred. I mean, there's maybe more of in different areas, you know?
Yeah.
It's sad. It really is. And then, you're talking about Harley Davidson, what's going on with them. And it's really sad. I never was around Toys R Us stores, but for 70 years, they were in business, and we now lost Toys R Us in this country. That's kind of a sad, to me, a mile marker that is going forever. And just like Sears and other stores are going out of business, for whatever reason it is, it still bothers me that they're going. I mean, it's a passing of time and a passing of a generation of things that are different. And I know online is now the way to shop and all this, but it's sad to see happen, is it not?
It is. It's sad because it makes us old. You know, it's just, it makes us old, and we long for the way it used to be. And but when you look at the new generation, they're embracing, you know, all of this technology and the downfall of this technology. This technology that they've been conditioned to believe is good for them. And I hear people tell me all the time, they get upset with me because I get down on technology and all that. Sure, technology, some of it is good, you know. But on the other hand, look at where they will be in the future. And I don't think it will be good. You know, we talked about the artificial intelligence being able to determine when you're going to die.
Yep.
They can control healthcare, so they can control your end of life. Some people might think that's a good thing. I'm sure the young people today are probably thinking that's a good thing until you're on the end of that decision where a robot, where artificial intelligence is saying, well, you know, she only has 5 years to live, so let's get rid of her now. They're abusing the theater. And so anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a few short moments as we head into our first break of the program today.
Have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call. We got some great pricing. I can run specials, but the prices are changing so much. So we still have the 50-cent pieces available. We have 1 ounce American Gold Eagles, $20. Anything you can mention is a great buy today. And people are certainly taking advantage of the lower pricing. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please go to our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And you can listen to this program live at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, or you can visit the archives. They're posted there on a long-term basis. There was just another thing I wanted to talk about. This is the Supreme Court today upheld President Trump's ban on travel from several mostly Muslim countries, rejecting a challenge that it discriminated against Muslims or exceeding his authority. A dissenting justice says the outcome was a historic mistake. Yeah, keep their opinions to themselves, you know. The 5-4 decision Tuesday is a big victory for Trump on an issue that is central to his presidency and the court's first substantive ruling on Trump's administration policy, and the president quickly tweeted his reaction. Wow. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote majority opinion for the five conservative justices, including Trump's nominee Neil Gorsuch. So I don't know how they could have not upheld it. So so that was a good thing that was released today. And something else that's going on that I think is kind of interesting that could have the impact on what we saw in oil prices today. You've been having protesting in Iran. Iran's capital held a third day of demonstrations over the country's anemic economy, as President Rouhani has told the nation that it faces an economic war with the United States following America's pullout from the nuclear deal. While online, videos show demonstrators again confronting police on Tehran's streets and alleyways, and the protests looked far smaller than they were on Monday when the security forces had fired tear gas on crowds in front of parliament. So another area of the world that we're not quite sure where that's going to lead us, but certainly could have a major impact on our gasoline prices. There was the agreement between OPEC that they were going to increase production, thinking that it would put a little bit of pressure on the oil prices, but instead it rebounded to higher prices because not everyone really believes the OPEC and their agreement. So anyway, so that's some impacts. We'll see how it affects gold throughout the week. And
Either way, it's a direct hit in our pocketbook. Gas thing goes up, it's a direct hit.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It truly is. You know, and you probably read this too, but I'd like to have some explanation on this, if you don't mind. The Fed, according to this article, just made the most hawkish turn in 30-plus years. Chairman Powell says he's going to pop bubbles. Greenspan, Bernanke, and Yellen said that's not the right thing to do. But he said he's going to pop bubbles. He's going to take down, entities that are maybe faking their profitability and getting to the point that they're pushing too hard. I don't understand what he said here, but maybe you can tell me what he means by popping the bubbles.
Well, I mean, they're going to raise rates, and some of the biggest bubbles are the bond markets, and, you know, those raises, you start raising rates. He confirmed that they're going to have two more rates for the rest of this year, and 2019, they're looking to have another four rate increases, and I don't think he's going to do it. He might be talking big now, but, you know, when the markets start, you know, reacting to that type of talk coming from the Fed, and you start having 300, 400, 500 point drops in a day, there goes the Trump's administration's economy, and he'll be put on pressure to, you know, increase it. But, you know, I mean, I can't believe, you know, we all know the market is going to crash anyway. We all know that the bond market is, you know, the biggest bubble out there. Everybody knows that these bubbles are ready to break. We have credit debt bubbles. We have bond bubbles. We have, you know, it's just a matter of time until they all break and bring down the house. So he
is his idea to do it now to lessen the pain, or what do you think he's thinking is on this?
Well, the thing, I mean, we have a strong economy. The numbers are showing. Why wouldn't he raise rates? You know, inflation is rising, so you know he's looking to raise rates. And if that pops bubbles, that's what he's going to do. He's going to unload some of those Fed debts and those bonds, and so we'll just see who's controlling who. We'll see if he's controlling the Fed, or we'll see if President Trump is controlling him, or we'll see if the elite's controlling both. I don't know. But no, I mean, it's just a target rate that the Fed is heading. They're going to raise rates. He says he's going to raise two more this year. I disagree. I think come this fall, there's no way he's going to raise rates. And but, you know, we'll see.
Well, you know, I don't think that Trump would want to happen, obviously, because that would affect the midterm elections. And I'm hearing both ways.
Exactly.
That Trump's going to sweep the board, and I'm going to say no, he's not. You know, but I will say this, and we'll see what happens. You know, Trump got in heavily Democratic areas, you know, because I think that people are starting to see some fanaticism, definitely on the leftist side. And now with what's going on with them inciting people to riot and even almost starting civil war, so speaking, and the other side, the right side, will say, I hate that. I use that term because that's what they use, but the conservative side having to carry guns to protect themselves, that may swing people even further to the conservative side, because they don't, the people they're talking to, these other sides, are insane. I mean, Maxine Waters should be put in prison at least for saying such things. So I just wonder if it may blow them back in to the conservative side this fall. But if the economy collapses, then obviously it could go the other way.
You know, I mean, just like there was, we talked about it in yesterday's program, or maybe it was even with you, I don't recall, but there was the farmers that are being hurt by some of these tariffs,
yes,
and so forth.
Yep.
And
yep.
They said they're willing to stick with the pain, you know, they don't mind this little bit of pain right now, because they think what Trump is doing is the right thing for the country. So, you know, I mean, Trump's popularity is rising. You know, his, you know, he is getting stronger and stronger numbers. Even if you look to different, I'm not a fan of Rasmussen polls, because they are geared towards conservative people. So, you know, so I look around at all the polls. And no matter what the number is, if it begins to increase, you know, that's a good thing. And they are beginning to increase. So he's doing something right. And I think his strength is foreign policy. And I think he's going to focus on foreign policy. And what else can he do to our economy? He's done rates. There's no talk of how can they do anything to the to benefits. I mean, there's they can do to Social Security, and I mean, they just can't. They can't touch that.
Well, you know, it's just so much. You mentioned the farmers, you know, and it's interesting too that the farmers in America, excuse me, are committing suicide higher than any other occupational group in the country, five times higher than the rest of them. because they said they can't live what they were making, what they were still making 15 years ago. They're making the same thing now, and they can't afford insurance and other things. So according to the articles I've been reading, they're committing suicide at five times the rate, 84.5 per 100,000. That also includes, by the way, fishing, the fishing and forestry industry. But farmers, you know, are on the list to commit suicide at a higher rate. Now, I find that curious. If they're for tariffs, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're hoping that would drive their prices up. And it very well could. I have no idea. I've heard others complain that it's driving their prices up on the wrong way, and they can't sell the goods overseas. Have you been seeing that also?
Well, I think farmers have been having troubles for a long time. I'm not sure that this immediate exchange for tariffs would increase those numbers immediately. I don't know the time frame of that survey, of that poll. So I think if it goes back longer than just the past couple of months, you know, our farmers, I mean, you know, they aren't helped. You know, they've been pushed out. They've had hard times. You know, you have these big conglomerates move in and push the farmers out, and they're working harder and harder, but so is everybody else in this country. Everybody's working harder and harder.
We're not getting ahead. It's like hamsters on a treadmill. We're running in circles. You know, really getting after, but not, you're right. It's the truth. I mean, you know, according to some of the different places I read, they said there's no more turning back on this trade deal. China said there's no more turning the other cheek. They're going to strike back. The trade wars are now irreversible. And that's from China. Now, I wonder how that will affect North Korea. Because of trade wars, according to the article, the Taiwan bonds and the Turkish lira are falling like a rock. Because of the trade war going on now with Russia and America, China, and others. So I don't know what that's going to hold. You feel like there's a cloud, there's a storm on the horizon, but is it all just hot air and nothing else, or is something really to it? How's it going to affect us? I think that's the bottom line, is we all want to know, how's it going to affect us personally?
Personally, our purchasing power is going to erode. We're going to have a collapse in our system. It will be reset. Now, I hear people out there making predictions on when and how it's all going to happen, but I sort of beg to differ, because no one really knows when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. We can think that there's going to be some sort of a big swan, but which domino is actually going to make them all fall? I don't think anybody knows that. And I think trade is a big part of this collapse, because you had all these countries for all these years all manipulating their currencies to help their trade, to help their exports. And now we finally have someone going in there and saying, hey, you know, we're gonna play the game too, and this is the way it's going to be. You have new people coming in, and everybody is positioning to take advantage and to make agreements and trade deals to help their countries, and that's what we're doing. We're out there trying to find the road that will help the people here in this country. So, but it isn't going to work, because everybody is in debt. And I mean, as far as North, go ahead.
Go ahead. We'll say with NAFTA and GATT, when all that become law, or treaties were signed, many people crying aloud what that was going to do to their economy. And they were right. It shut down factories and manufacturers all this country, and they moved overseas. Now, maybe perhaps Trump's trying to reverse that and bring them back in. But it can hurt a little bit. It can hurt quite a bit in reverse, too, couldn't it?
It is going to hurt one way or another, because just like we talked about two companies, Harley and the nail manufacturer. Sure, there might be other nail manufacturers in here in this country that might be able to work better and so forth. But this particular one, they're going to be leaving, perhaps. Harley Davidson might be leaving. So it's going to be a give and take. Someone's going to hurt. But eventually, it depends on how big this trade war goes. I mean, other presidents have tried to put on tariffs, not quite as strong as this one, but they didn't seem to work. And as soon as there was a little pressure coming from these multinational corporations, they would back down and you know, just go along with the game. Well, this one's not backing down. This one has President Trump has, you know, made his road, and he's following it. And now if he puts exclusions on companies and others, and, you know, like we've seen, you know, to me, that's, you know, what is it really all about then? If you can't be strong enough to put tariffs on and stay the road, and, you know, you just can't be picking and choosing on, you know, who gets tariffs and who doesn't, not with companies in this country, or even other countries, you know. So it's all going to hurt. You know, there will be job losses, and the markets won't stay strong, not with this volatility. And, you know, we could go into different types of wars also.
So. Well, you know, this is a situation where you either all in or all out. You can't do halfway and make it work, obviously.
No, you can't.
If his goal is to bring back prosperity to America, and he thinks he can do it this way, to give in to the powers that be, as others have, nothing's going to change for the better for the country. But in the meantime, you have to wonder, can we, the people, afford to foot the bill till things do change? That's just a question. I don't know about anybody else, but I know personally I struggle more every year to make the bill because my dollar's worth less every year.
And that's the key. This country's in so debt, we don't have the power that we once did. The infrastructure, you don't hear anyone talking about infrastructure.
No.
That's a positive for this country. If you're going to spend trillions of dollars, how about spending it on our infrastructure? Not for a space army.
Well, without the infrastructure, the country can't function. That's obvious. I don't care whether it's roads or power grids or whatever it is. Without the infrastructure, it cannot function. It will collapse. It has no choice.
And when you view some of these other countries, the wealth, and, you know, how do you attract with the poor infrastructure? How do you attract investors?
Yes.
How do you attract people want to come here? Why would you want to fly into dilapidated airports when you can, you know, have your factory someplace else and in Shanghai and fly into these beautiful airports? And, you know, so it's money attracts, and we're broke. But so is everyone else.
That's true. They just haven't maybe as far down the hill as we have. America is crumbling very quickly. It's held together a lot longer than most empires with fiat currency. You know that.
Absolutely. You know, and the difference is China, a lot of their money went into their infrastructure. Hey, I hear the music, so we're going to be heading into our second break of the program. So, ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Ball, and we'll be right back. Would you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival that is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Heading into the break, we were talking about tariffs, and I told Pastor Butch during the break, it's the debt that's going to bring us down before the tariffs work either way. Whether they're positive or negative, I think the debt will bring us down before that. And I think the key that Trump is doing now, this would be my, and after talking to James Corbett the other day, this is the perfect time for Trump to be doing these tariffs, because after the system collapses, after the system is reset, then we have everything in place. And maybe that's what he is doing. Maybe he is positioning the United States to take advantage when the system collapses. Now, does he know someone, or does he know the time frame of when the system is going? I don't know. But I mean, I think it's this, I mean, again, there's so much anger in this country. You could feel it building to a crescendo. I mean, it's like just like ready to, something is ready to explode.
Yes,
something nasty. Something nasty. I don't know what it is.
It has to. It's like a pimple that fetches into a boil and grows and grows and grows. And when it's full of pus and putrid, it's going to blow up and it's going to stink and it's going to hurt.
Ew.
Now, that's just the way it is.
Ew.
You know?
Ew.
I mean, that would be pleasant compared to what we'll see in this country. You know, I'm just looking, again, at Venezuela and a prime example of what's happened to a nation that loses its way. I mean, Venezuela was absolutely the wealthiest country in South America, and beautiful country, prosperous country. Now it's getting so bad that the army is intercepting their water trucks to go into communities, and they're taking over the spigots and charging people for water. And they're forcing the Venezuelans to pay for the services, and also hijacking the trucks and taking out trucks to people that they like. You know, other citizens or that they like, they're sending water to them. Now, you say, well, that's ridiculous. It can't happen here. Melody, how much pride does America have to have before she realizes that pride leads to destruction? Venezuela didn't think it ever happened to me, did they?
Venezuela and how many other countries?
Exactly.
But now
they're taking over the water supply. So that is scary when they lose so much control of their infrastructure, even right down to the water that people drink.
Yes.
I mean, that is just unbelievable that it can happen, but it's happening right now in Venezuela as we speak.
Absolutely, it is.
Those poor people, I don't know how they're existing.
Well, I mean, I don't either. And certainly, you know, we've seen, you know, the pictures of the lines, and we've seen the pictures of people starving and eating animals from the streets. And, you know, a lot of people are doing everything that they need to do to survive. But I think they've been down this road before. Maybe they haven't been down this road before for a long time, but I think they've been down the road. And you know, they were once the wealthiest nation. They were
yes.
a very wealthy nation.
But had they been down this road before to such an extent, this bad?
Well, probably not this bad, but I mean, they're used to the corruption in the governments, and you know, they're used to being treated in the manner of, you know, they're used to the socialism, the corruption, and so forth, of their politicians, and where this country yet, I think people still have faith in their politicians. They still have, you know, maybe not many, maybe not us, but I mean, there's. You know, I'm talking about the GDP out there, the generally dumb public. You know, they still have you know, some faith in some of these politicians and so forth, but maybe. I don't know.
Well, you know, so supposedly the politicians in Venezuela says it's better for the people to suffer than it is for the U.S. to influence a country. And I'm not saying that they're not right, but it's easy for them to say because they're not on the streets having baked for food. The politicians are still eating.
That's correct.
You know, so it makes you wonder about that. I mean, how sincere are they when they say that? But they're still living in their homes, and they have the family with them, and they're eating from the people's labors. It's just.
But then, how right is it? But then, how right is it for us to be putting sanctions on at the same time?
I totally agree. I mean, it's
people just to get Maduro out of there, to get our government in there. How right is that?
And you know, we see all this happening, and I see things both ways with what's going on in this country. Both ways, we are an empire trying to control the world, and perhaps Trump's trying to do a few things right. And I did read an article the other day that I thought was interesting, that one of the reasons the liberals, and I'll even call them to the point of fascists, don't want to shut down the borders, because they put so many lawyers and judges out of work that feed off the illegal immigration, illegal aliens coming across. You know, they're there. The lawyers are there to represent them. Those are there to prosecute them. The judge is there to judge them. There's a tremendous amount of money flowing through the legal system for these people. They make a living off illegal immigration. Now, I hadn't thought about that perspective before. Maybe that's why they're so upset, because they're going to lose their cash cow.
Yeah, but last night I listened a little bit to Trump's rally when he was in South Carolina, and he said he even had to agree with Ted Cruz that they're trying to bring in the possibility of bringing more judges down there in order to help the processing to be speedier. So, you know, on one hand, you have one group saying that there's too many, and they're you know, on the other hand, there's not enough.
Well, you know, but Trump said, "Don't even give him a trial; just ship him back." You know, and that brings another point up.
Now,
this is a very important point, because I know some of these people are desperate. I know they are. I have no doubt they are. But how many can we absorb as a country? Even if they are desperate, how many can we absorb and take care of? Obviously, the limit, there has to be a limit somewhere. But on the other hand, those who come across 3, 4, 5 times keep getting sent back without any penalty. How long can we do that before we say, okay, you know, enough's enough? We're going to give you a home here, but it's going to be a hard labor, you know, working in the prison here, and you're going to be fixing roads and doing some infrastructure work for us. And now, I don't know if that sounds humane or inhumane. That's not the point. The point is, how long can we absorb this?
Well, I often wondered, why do they have to go through courts and everything? Why wouldn't they just? Now, I get it. I mean, there was embassies. I don't know how many embassies that these people passed to which they could sign in and seek asylum in this country. I mean, they pass how many of them on the way? Why do they have to cross at the rivers? They know where to go in order to do it legally. So that's the whole issue. And I always thought to myself, too, well, if they're crossing illegally, they're not citizens, why do they have to go to court? Why don't you just pack them on the bus and send them back?
Well, that's a good point. You know, I had a guy call the radio program.
That's the same thing that a wall is going to do. The wall is going to keep them from coming over, so why not just ship them back?
There's a lot of tough issues here, and I realize that. But the point boils down to this. If you were living in your home and one poor person comes to your door and is hungry, you probably try to feed him and take care of him for a while. You'd help him get on their feet or whatever you had to do. But when you had 20 or 30 show up a day, how long could you absorb that?
You know, they always bring up and they show these pictures, and half the pictures that they've been showing on TV aren't even today's pictures. They're pictures from, you know, from 2014. They're pictures from, you know, 2000. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? And it's all to get people riled up. So you talk about Maxine Waters, the media should be held responsible, too, for showing these pictures and the way they report things to fire people up so that things happen. You know, so it's, and I said that a long time, from the very first time Soros was sending money to Ferguson, Missouri. It's like, how can they get away with it? They're paying to stir people up. They're paying for people to riot. They're paying people to demonstrate.
Well, you know, but it's coming home to roost. You know, for how many decades have we been doing the same thing to other countries to undermine their government and bring them down? That we send CIA money and agents over there to instigate riots. Well, it's the same thing, only now it's our turn.
Yep, absolutely. And, we were the biggest along with Israel.
Exactly. So what goes around comes around. America's turn has now come. And that's all there's to it. And America is going to be taken down. That's going to happen. Trump may, by some efforts, slow it down a little bit. But America cannot recover from its economic mess. Cannot recover from the fact it's murdered 70 million babies. It will not recover from that. It will go down. Maybe it won't be during the term, Trump's term. I have no idea. But it will go down. And it's going to go down hard. That's all there's to it.
That's all there is to it. And, you know, I'm going to bring us back to the debt. I'm going to bring back to the, you know, the mismanagement of this country. I'm bringing us back to there's no way these entitlements can continue to be paid. There's no way the debt can continue to be paid. And all of that's going to come due before everything else works. Tariffs aren't going to work as long as we have this debt. Some of these other things aren't going to work until it's taken control. So it's going to break.
Yes,
and then maybe
is.
These and
to.
Then these things, yes, it has to.
It has
and then
to.
Everything else will work.
Now on the plus side, something I think you'll like, I know I do. According to the article that I read, there's about $1 billion firearms in the world. I probably think more than that, but they said $1 billion firearms. Out of that $1 billion firearms, take a guess what percentage we own.
40%.
You read it already. You cheated.
No,
you did your homework.
I did my homework.
40% of them are owned by this country. You know, 393,300,000 guns in this country. India second with 71 million, roughly. That still shows perhaps maybe a little bit of independence in this country, the fact that Americans are still armed, and if they would stand up, there's not a military in the world that could take them all down. You know that. No way.
Well.
It's impossible. But The problem is, they're not going to take us down forcefully, I don't think. They're going to do it a little bit at a time, pass a law here, pass a law there, and tell us if you want to eat, you'll have to do this and do that. I mean, it's just New Jersey has passed a law. Anything with more than 10 rounds has to be turned in. And they got 180 days to turn them in. 6 months, turn them in, or they're going to be in bad trouble. Anything more than 10 rounds. Well, there's 22 rifles more than 10 rounds. There's you know, different calibers of rifles more than 10 rounds. I have a few myself, and I ain't turned them in. But New Jersey said, turn them in or go to jail within 6 months. Now, what would people do? See, that's how they do it. They own the guns. They own them. They're there. But would they use them to defend themselves from this type of tyranny? That's the question.
Well, first of all, you have to understand what tyranny is, and I think that's lacking in probably a large part of this country, the people. And I think when they're hungry, and I think when the stock market corrects and they see their investments get wiped out, when we see this country can no longer pay all those entitlements, they'll be looking to the government to come and say, we have this new program, but you're going to have to pretty much sign over your life to us.
Yeah,
if you haven't
exactly.
already. And we'll make sure you and your children, and if you have a pet maybe, won't go hungry. We'll provide you with water, just like FEMA does when they go into these areas that have these catastrophic weather losses and so forth. That's all training, you know. And they go in there, and thank God, it does help people. So that's a good thing. I'm not... You know, I say this with, you know, my heart going to this, but it's all training, and it's a group that was set up to do this, and they're becoming very good at it. You can remember how some of Katrina, how bad they did, and now they go in there and they just
zip and got back into some kind of housing. And I got to cover one more story in that time. I want to ask you this question: have you seen the new tax form they're proposing?
No.
It's the size of a postcard. I'm not making it up. This is for real. The new 1040 is the size of a postcard. So because of Trump's tax policies, it's going to be so simplified, you can do it all on a postcard. it probably going to say whatever you made, send it in. But anyway, but this is no joke. It's online. You can look at it. Our new 1040 form will be about the size of a postcard if they get through what they plan to do. So you may want to check that out. I thought that was interesting. We said because the tax reform that Trump did, it's going to make it that simple. They may do it. I don't see it yet, but we'll see what happens. But the size of that postcard is going to be the 1044.
Well, I hope so. I mean, that would be awesome, but I would still prefer just a 10% tax and everything, and you wouldn't even need a form, you know?
There you go.
But
that's
a flat tax to where that's the only thing that's fair to everybody. And but we'll have to see, because I'm not sure all of those who file 1040s, how many jobs would that lose? How many positions? HR blocks, H and hour block. You know,
That's true, that some will lose, but overall the country will gain big time.
Well, it depends on how many people lose their job.
Well, I mean, but you still think, though, people get to keep all that much more money in their pocket. Businesses can even hire more.
This is true. This is true. You know, I don't know what it costs anymore to go to H&R Block to file your taxes. I heard it got pretty expensive. But
I don't do it, so I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Yeah. So, maybe there'll be something I'll check on, because I know one of my family members works for H&R Block during the tax season. So I'll ask them what they think of the new form and what type of impact it might have. And, if they can save some, because they'll be able to, because gasoline prices will go higher. So they'll be.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, we're out of time. And we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here with Wendy Wilson and Dave Allen. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.